Every day at 2 o'clock, you hear this music, it's time for the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can listen to it on 94.9. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD products, curated for life. And yes, it is time for our weekly chat with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Good morning, Paul. The first rankings came out. I will just tell you, as we talked about it yesterday on the show, I have no issues with what they did. I'm saying that because typically we always have issues. I didn't have any. Did you?
I really didn't. And quite frankly, I was pleased to see them rank Cincinnati where they did. Because,
me too.
Let's be honest. Yep. Cincinnati hasn't played anyone. And, you know, I'm just getting tired of all the political correctness out there. The hand-wringing and the crying, oh, they deserve a chance. Well, they played a good schedule and the best they could come up with, and right now it doesn't look like it's going to be enough. And you know, one or two other things that stand out. I mean, Oklahoma at 8 doesn't mean anything. They can play their way back in. And other than that, yeah, the one thing that I thought by putting Alabama at number 2 is – they gave Alabama maybe a sliver of a chance to still get in if they lost a heartbreaker 34-33 game against Georgia. I don't think that's likely, but putting them 2, I think, was indicative. And quite frankly, tell me a team better than other than Georgia. Who is better than Alabama right now?
Yeah, nope. I completely agree with everything you said. Cincinnati absolutely deserves to be out of the top 4. I've watched them the last 2 weeks against 2 garbage teams. And they barely won. Yeah, they've got one nice win in South Bend, and I'm not going to take away from them. But if you're asking me to believe that they're truly a top 4 team, I just don't buy it. And I would have thought if I had to come up with something, I was a little surprised with Oklahoma being that far down. With the quarterback switch, it looks like maybe they've righted the ship some. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about this committee, there are, I think, 6 or 7 new people on it, so – you can't use precedent. I mean, this is not a Supreme Court case. And, you know, I've been cynical of them for a long time, but I really think they have mostly gotten the final poll right. And, guys, that's all that matters. I mean, this is, you know, I work at ESPN, so I we're not supposed to, you know, to pop off. But, you know, Tuesday night's a TV show. It's essentially basically saying nobody else matters in college football if you're not in this conversation. You know, don't bring up Kentucky. Don't give me Ole Miss. Here's where we are the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah. I saw them have some fun with you on Jim Harbaugh yesterday. And, wow, Gag City. And I know it's a rivalry game and crazy things have happened in that. But, I mean, the narrative just continues on Jim Harbaugh against Michigan State and Ohio State. I mean, I don't know if he can't beat Ohio State again this year, like – are they just going to keep, you know, signing up for this hamster wheel year in and year out?
I think they are. So I'm thinking. So you know, right now he has 2 big games left at Penn State and home against Ohio State. Let's say he beat Penn State, which would be a significant win, and loses to Ohio State. I don't think anything changes because I've talked to so many Michigan fans who really are okay. You know, it's almost like in the age of Nick Saban and the SEC, you don't expect to beat him. If you do, it's breaking news. But if you lose to him, well, okay, it's not going to cost you your job. And I think with Harbaugh, you know, they really don't have a second plan. I think they've looked around and seen what's happened at Nebraska. They've looked at other places and are saying, you know what, if we're 9-3, 10-2, we're relevant. Let's stay the course. I think it's ridiculous, but then again, I'm in the business of thinking Michigan should be playing for titles, not for second place.
Well, why do you think that is, Paul? Because you're right. I mean, that's a program that year in and year out they should be. So why do you think that they seem to be just complacent with where they are, in your opinion?
I think they've had so many bad coaches, Brady Hoke, Rich Rodriguez, just to name 2, that they like the fact that he's one of theirs. You know, they know that Michigan's won, what, 1.5 national championships in 60 years. And you know, the program's running along pretty well. It's a very successful entity. And I don't think they've taken a good long look and go, you know, he's a Michigan man, whatever that means, okay? And I think they're settling. And I think maybe a little bit of the fire Jim Harbaugh mentality out there, which I must admit I'm part of, has maybe helped him a little bit. I know I'm going reverse psychology, but they, you know, Michigan people are very different. I don't mean that in a they belong in a commune somewhere, but they really value the university a great deal, as well as the athletic department, where it's not just about football. And listen, that's great. Okay, I'm all for great universities and academic integrity, but when you're paid $6 million a year to coach football, you should beat your rival maybe once every 10 years.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. What is it? I mean, yes, he's a weird cat, but the guy can coach. I mean, we've seen his track record. The guy can coach. What do you think it is? Like, why do you think there's this mental hurdle of Michigan State, and it's not like nothing against Michigan State, but it's not like they're competing year in and year out for the college, for the national championship. At least Ohio State, you could say that. And then Ohio State, he hasn't even beaten them at all. Michigan State, at least he's logged three wins now. But what do you think it is that he can't beat them year in and year out, or in Ohio State's case, can't beat them at all?
No, I think the Ohio State situation is interesting because, yeah, I mean, this is a great era of Ohio State football, but you know, they're on the second coach, and he can't beat Ryan Day, nor can he beat Urban Meyer. However, I think the problem is Michigan State. I mean, he's losing to them with regularity, and I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to happen, but if somehow Michigan State ends up in the playoffs for the second time, what's in 6 years where Harbaugh still hasn't gotten in, I think that might hurt him more than anything.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN. And so this weekend, how much could Auburn, so to speak, hurt Alabama with a win over Texas A&M, with that being the only loss that Alabama has?
It would hurt some, but you know, what's interesting, not to, you know, throw things up against the wall, but you know, if Auburn wins this game Saturday, you know, suddenly you have to start thinking: can they beat Alabama? And if they beat Alabama, can they beat Georgia? I know, I'm throwing quite a big net out there, but Auburn still has an inside straight at getting to the title, getting to the playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen. It's highly unlikely, but I'm just saying that it is at least in the realm of possibility. I really do think Alabama, though. Yeah, they have a shot at getting in with a loss, but you know that would hurt them. But they are probably going to have to beat Georgia in the SEC game.
Has Auburn surprised you maybe more than anyone in the SEC this year with, you know, coaching change and the fact that they only have two losses so far?
They have right now, and I'm hesitant to. Yeah, they beat Arkansas on the road, which surprised me, but I think we all invested too much in Arkansas, and certainly the LSU win, that means virtually nothing right now, and Ole Miss may somewhat fade in the distance, but I mean Auburn could still go 7-5. I'm not trying to be a contrarian, but if they lose to A&M, they have Mississippi State on the road, and then Alabama. It's entirely possible they could lose all those games, but I just didn't think they had the players. And Brian Harsin is quirky, but I think he's a very, you know, fundamentally sound football coach.
So what team not named Ohio State that's not in the top four, so basically 5 through 10, you know, do you still keep your eye on that could potentially work their way up into that top four?
Yeah, we discussed Oklahoma, and I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't really I don't think Michigan State can do it. I mean, I'd still like Ohio State to win the Big Ten. I don't see a second team getting in. And Oregon, made a nice return yesterday, but I think that was payback for the Ohio State win. You can say, hey, what about Wake Forest? And I'm going to say, what about them? They're not going to finish undefeated. I mean, that's. It would be really amazing if they did, but I'm not counting on it. So I think we are starting to see some separation. I think we know that Georgia's in there. You know, is Alabama in there? Oregon, Ohio State, one of those two. Oklahoma, I still think, has a really good path. So I it's going to probably end up just like it always does.
So I had some fun with this one yesterday, but how much are you looking forward to the Hugh Freeze tribute video in Oxford and the halftime ceremony? Maybe they'll hand him a cell phone, something like that. what are you expecting there?
It's a really unique, and I think it's a really dangerous game for Lane Kiffin because his team is really heading in the wrong direction. I think Hugh Freeze needs to win this game. I think if he does, he's going to get on some radar screens very quickly. And until now, I think he's been unable to get in any job hunches. I think especially in the SEC, I know there's not a written code in the SEC, don't hire Hugh Freeze, but I strongly believe there's an unwritten code.
Paul Finebaum is with us talking college football. So, Paul, excuse me, I was wondering what your thoughts are right now as we sit here, and there's still a long way to go, but just how powerful is Georgia? Every time I think that, okay, they're going to have an off week, maybe they'll struggle and somebody's going to give them a shot, they just go out and impress. So I know there's still some huge chapters left to be written here, but are we talking about, you know, a team that we're going to be talking about for a long time when it's all said and done?
We could be, certainly defensively. I mean, I worry a little bit about the offense if they get in the shootout, but yeah, you know, I think in 2 weeks we'll have a better feel for that. I think JT Daniels clearly is going to get in the game Saturday against Missouri. He'll play a little bit against Tennessee. Tennessee may be an interesting game because Tennessee can score. But ultimately, I think this team is so solid. And quite frankly, you know, they have a game to give. So if they have that bad game against Alabama, they're not going to be hurt that badly. I think the good news is that they have time to figure it out.
Give me your thoughts. This is an interesting one to me. It's Wake Forest. When a team like Wake Forest, I guess, you know, we had this conversation years ago when Northwestern under Gary Barnett had a couple of really special seasons here. But Wake Forest keeps inching along, keeps getting these wins. And you're sitting there, if you're Vanderbilt, probably going, hey, all right. Even Clark Lee spent some time at Wake Forest, so I'd be taking some notes there. But what are your thoughts on the Deacons this season and what this will mean for them?
I think it's an indication, especially to schools like Vanderbilt, that it can be done. I mean, there's not that much difference between Wake Forest and Vanderbilt. They're both, you know, extremely strong academic schools. Maybe it's slightly easier at Wake Forest than Vanderbilt, but it's not significantly easy. So I think it's a real case and study for Vanderbilt to, you know, quit making excuses. I'm not saying that specifically, but you know, in time, this program needs to get better and compete. It can be done.
Paul, I want to go back real quick as we wrap this up. Would you take this Georgia defense or the LSU offense a couple of years ago that won the national championship? One or the other. You can't have both. That would be the greatest team ever assembled. Which one would you take?
I would take the Georgia defense because as good as that LSU offense was, Alabama was in that game in Tuscaloosa and had a shot. A really good shot, and they were playing with a banged up Tua Tagovailoa, so that team could have been beaten. I'm still not convinced you can score on Georgia. Remember, Florida scored at the end of the game; it was a garbage touchdown. So I'm really interested in next week with Tennessee and Alabama, but I'm going defense right now as counter intuitive as that sounds in today's world of high flying offenses.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Have a great rest of your day and a great week. Thanks.
Guys, a pleasure. See you next week.
Paul Finebaum brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We'll come back. Some good stuff in there. On the other side, the Predators also have some news you can use. We'll tell you about that, too, as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, everybody, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. I'm over here in Edmonton, I don't know about the home values up here. I know it's cold, and I know the Predators are playing against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. But I know the home values back home in our listening area are skyrocketing. And that means right now is a great time to take some of that cash out of your home's equity if you need it. You hear me talking about Loan Pronto all the time. They can fast track you, that home refi, and get you a check for 50, 60, 70 grand. And you know, at this time of the year, you're starting to get your finances in order. It's the year end. The holidays are coming up. You can get cash out now and use it to your advantage, whether it be paying off some high interest credit cards. Imagine being credit card debt free for the new year. That sounds pretty good. Or maybe you want to consolidate other loans, pay for holiday expenses, get your finances in great shape for 2022. It may be something that you want to do to turn around and get yourself a new kitchen or bath. Reinvest in your home. Make it even more valuable. Listen, your home's value is way up, and you can get a new mortgage rate with an APR in the twos with Loan Pronto. So what you've got to do is call Loan Pronto now. Put that equity in your home to work towards financial freedom. Do it now. You could even skip your next two house payments. Here's how you do it. Call 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.